Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we'd come into your house with joy this morning. Whatever we're going through, we still come into the house and we worship with joy and we lift your name up and we say thank you. Thank you for the blood that washes away all of our sins. And so open our hearts as we hear from the word, the preaching and teachings of God's word. Be with Brother Cal as he brings that to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, the worship time has been good today. Oh, y'all are Baptists. Come on. The worship time's been good today. Amen. Hallelujah. He deserves our best in everything. Our best in everything. And so I'm grateful for our graduates today, for the good crowd we've got. We have gone back to one service for the rest of the summer, at least, and to give our folks who've been working double duty a little break, a little rest. But it may be kind of like this some Sundays, and if it is, it's okay. Y'all go to the ball games and sit like this, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. So we can enjoy just being with the Lord on Sunday. Amen? Yeah. What can wash away my sin? I like that old song. Amen. We are hopping through Hebrews together this year. And we find ourselves in the last part of chapter 5 and the first three verses of chapter 6. So I want to start reading, though, from verse 9 this morning of chapter 5, because it'll make more sense if we do. And we've got a sobering subject this morning. The writer of Hebrews doesn't pull any punches. So just get ready, but you're going to be better because of the word. Let's all rise, if we can, in the honor of reading of God's word. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. We covered most of that last week. Here it is. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you come to need milk. Everybody say, wah! And not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We'll cover those first three verses in chapter 6 as we move along in the message today. Father, make this real to our hearts. Help us, God. We need your help. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth. Speak to all of our hearts about whatever you want to say to us. And Father, give us the courage to just say yes to whatever you're calling us to do. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus and for his sake. All God's children said, amen. All right, please be seated. One of the great privileges of fatherhood is you get to watch your child being born. I've watched all three of our kids being born. And every birth was different, but it was all good. And, then maybe just as good, it really fills your heart with joy to watch your kids start growing and maturing. Diana, what was the two girls? What was their first words? Mama,
Mama.
Dada.
And she changed ever since.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't remember what Paige's first words. Isaac didn't speak until he was about six. So, it still doesn't. So, but my girls talked early and they learned how to walk early. And now the girls speak at speeds of up to 100 miles an hour with gusts of up to 310. But it is a joy to watch your children grow up, isn't it? And what a blessing it is to see them mature and become all that that God wants them to be too. You know, it would be a tragedy if your child couldn't grow and couldn't mature and become an adult, wouldn't it? Well, there isn't anything more exciting than to see a lost person come to faith in Jesus Christ, to repent of their sin and trust their lives to Jesus Christ. That is a wonderful miracle. I like it. I've been in a part of some of those conversions, and man, it really blesses me. But the new birth, being born again, is just the beginning. Just getting started. All right? Now, being a baby is wonderful. How many of you would like to go back to being a baby again, have all your needs met, right? No, but remaining a baby all of your life, especially spiritually, is a huge problem. And it's a problem that affects the church today. And that's exactly the problem that the writer of Hebrews is addressing with these new Jewish Hebrew believers. He's trying to get them to realize that God wanted them to start growing up spiritually. You're growing up physically and mentally and emotionally, and it's time for you to grow up spiritually. And so I've entitled the message today, Growing Up in Jesus. We're talking about growing in godliness. We're talking about maturing in our faith. And you know, I've been pastor of four churches, and there's a few church members who've been saved, some 40, 50, 60 years, and they still wearing diapers and drinking from spiritual baby bottles. That's sad. They're not enjoying the life that God died and rose again for them to have. So I want us to listen to the Word of God this morning. And there's two things, just two truths that we need to really drive home. That first of all, the writer of Hebrews says we got to face our immaturity. We got to face it. And then we must forsake our immaturity. So let's dive into the Word now. I started there with verse 11 this morning, and it's possible for a Christian to mature quickly. I've seen some guys and gals really grow fast. But it's just as possible to see a Christian for years and years and still be in kindergarten, be an adolescent. In the church, I've been privileged of pastoring. There's 50, 60, 70-year-old believers who've been saved for years and years but never have really moved into this area of maturity, Christian spiritual maturity. And so the writer of Hebrews is trying to get these folks to face up to their immaturity. I know I don't have anybody in here like that. Say amen or laugh, if you, all right? He's saying here, I want to go further with you, but I can't because you're dull of hearing. Did you see that there in verse 11? Because you're dull of hearing. Now, that's kind of a strange phrase to use, isn't it? I mean, I understand what we're talking about. We're talking about dull preaching and dull teaching. I've done quite a bit of that myself, right? Or, you know, dull word, whatever. And I might say this. I had a Sunday school teacher one time ask one of her preschoolers that, why are we supposed to be quiet in worship? She said, because people are sleeping. And I guess some of the greatest awakenings and revival in history have come after one of my closing prayers. Some of y'all got that. All right. But however, that's really not what we're talking about here in this passage. believers, true believers that are still babes in Christ are not interested in spiritual matters. They go to Sunday school class, you know, and the teacher was boring. How many times have you ever heard somebody say, well, she sure was boring today? It's not that the preaching and the teaching and the music and the worship was boring. It's the fact that you're dull of hearing. That's what he's saying here. They hear the gospel preached and the message was dull. They hear the music and the music was too loud. They hear the teaching and, oh, teacher went too long, da-da-da-da-da-da. And that dullness of hearing leads to two things, two quick things I want to get to. When you're dull of hearing and spiritually immature, we get behind in our duty. Look at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, believers, after a couple or two or three years, ought to have learned the basics of the Christian faith. The simple elementary truths of Scripture, the basics, the ABCs of our faith. Would y'all agree with that? One of the marks of a mature believer occurs when one takes off the bib, spiritually speaking, and puts on the apron of duty and begins to serve others. Immature children wear bibs and they expect other people to serve them. I was so pleased with our people yesterday. Sheila tells me, best count, had 11 teams and over 75 folks out in our community serving the needs of others. Praise the Lord. I could say a lot more right there, but I'll let it go at that. Maturity in the Christian life always brings the apron of duty. There are some things we're supposed to do as mature believers. One of those things is sharing your faith, sharing the ABCs of our faith. Now, for instance, you wouldn't go into a classroom of first graders and give all of them a novel to read. You'd have to teach them first the ABCs, right? Right? And then they can start reading on that novel a little while later. But if you've been a Christian for 2, 3, 4 years, you should be able to share your faith, the ABCs, the basics of the Christian life. And that is our duty. And if you can't do that, that's a sign you're not growing like God wants you to. I'm telling you, this is a tough sermon to preach. And it's even tougher to hear, but it's a needed message because it's right straight from the Word of God. So you get behind in your duty when you're dull of hearing, when you're spiritually immature. And then you get behind in your development. Say development with me. Now look again at verse 12b. And you come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's able, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, notice the contrast. Milk and solid food. Milk and solid food. Now, we all understand that milk is pretty much baby food. Somehow God puts it that desire in the life of a baby. He or she wants milk and has to have milk. And they get that milk, right? Well, if you've been saved, you have the desire, you should have the desire for the milk of God's Word. If you don't have the desire to please God and to, you know, to learn what God wants and expects out of you, there's a big issue there. Why not? Because if you are saved, we enjoy the milk of God's Word. Now, you will immediately want to know and understand that those simple truths when you get born again. Now, I'm a grown man and getting bigger all the time. But every now and then, I still enjoy a good cold glass of milk. Some of y'all do too. All right, well, here's the deal. I love the simple truths, the milk of God's Word. I love to hear them. A person eventually, though, moves on from the milk and moves on to the meat. Bless God. Milk isn't what you need the rest of your spiritual life. You need to move on to some ribeyes. I heard my brother here cooked about 79 ribeyes the other night. We need to get him here and cook ribeyes for us. Hallelujah. All right, so we need to move on and move on to solid food. And we need to get out of the nursery and forsake our baby bottles of milk and move on to the deeper truths of Scripture. And, you know, Billy Walker's a fine teacher. We got some other fine teachers over in the other building. But you got to be halfway mature to come into Billy's class if you're going to understand anything, right? Are y'all with me? Thank God for people who will share the meat, not just the milk, but the meat of God's Word. And God's Word is not merely to be read, it should be obeyed. James 1:22, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You not only read the Word, you obey the Word, you apply the Word that you're reading. And the Scriptures here is talking about there in verse 14, solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, there's choices that have to be made in life. Hello? A lot of different choices. And sometimes it's just a good thing to ask this question. Now, this is old school. But you know what? Old school's pretty good school. And you need that. If you got a big decision to make, you just simply ought to ask yourself, y'all remember the bracelets, WWJD? What would Jesus do? What choice should I make here? What is the decision I ought to come down on? And you know, the Bible, y'all, is much more than an information book. It's a life transformation book. And that's one of the reasons that we have His Word. And I want to tell you what, the Bible speaks to all kinds of issues and decisions. Let me just speak to our young crowd here for a minute. Did y'all know the Bible tells you the kind of person you need to marry? Hello? Girls, don't you go out here and get some stray dog. Read the Bible. Obey the Bible. And you know, all these alternative lifestyle issues, the Word of God speaks to every one of them. Even cross-dressing. Did you know that's in the Bible? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Not just the, you know, the big sexual immorality stuff, but stuff that's kind of borderline, you know. It speaks to all kinds of issues. And the reason you don't make good decisions is you're not in the Word. And if you are in the Word, obey the Word. Apply what you're learning. Speaks on alcohol. Speaks about gambling. The Word of God speaks on all kinds of issues. Who to partner with in business. I could keep going here. What kind of husband you ought to be? If you got a decision to make as a wife or a spouse, check the Word of God out. Our children, our kids, they're facing all kinds of decisions. Get them to base their decisions on what the Word of God says, and you'll be much better off. I promise. And so, when you're spiritually immature, not growing like you need to grow, and you need to mature, you get behind in your duty and your development. You're not sharing the basic truths like you ought to with other people that are lost. And if you're not obeying the Word of God, you're not getting God's best for your life. Look at your neighbor and say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. All right, so we need to face, first of all, you got to face your spiritual immaturity. You got to face your problem. And then secondly, we must forsake our immaturity. And that leads us to verse 1, 2, and 3 in chapter 6. Now watch this. Chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Now, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permits. So in forsaking our immaturity, we first got to move beyond the elementary principle, the basics of Scripture. You got to move on. The word leave means to move beyond, to move on. You know, a bird moves on from his shell, right? A builder moves on from the foundation that he's built. And by the way, baby boys and baby girls, they move on from the crib. Hello? Some of us need to move on and to get busy, to move out ahead. And there are six truths in these three verses all coupled together. And the first two have to do with moving beyond the basic elementary principles. Repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Now, repentance from dead works was an Old Testament truth taught by John the Baptist and all the other prophets. And yeah, you got to, Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. But when you get to the New Testament, the two sides of that salvation coin are repentance and faith. Yes, thank you. Repentance and faith. And so, to turn to God, you've got to be willing to turn from your sin. That's repentance. And turning to Him by faith. That's the New Testament coin of salvation, those two sides of that. And so, and he's saying, if you've done that, hallelujah. If you've done that, great, but it's time to move on. Y'all with me so far? Here's the second thing about forsaking your immaturity. Not only need to move beyond the elementary principles of Scripture, but we need to move beyond the empty practices of tradition. Ooh, we're going to have a ball game right here. Watch this. Now, in verse 2, he's talking about doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands. Now, the doctrine of baptisms, as we heard this morning, had to do with ceremonial washings. These were rituals that the priest and the people had to go through. You had to be ceremonially clean. And you had to be washed. And so that's what he's talking here about being an empty practice, these doctrines of washings. Listen to what, Titus 3:5, I believe it is. Yeah, here it is. Titus 3:5 says this. Not by works of righteousness. That sound familiar? Which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, if you've experienced the new birth, the Holy Spirit has washed you. He has baptized you into the body of Christ. You've been washed. You've been made whole. You've been made clean by the Holy Spirit. Somebody thank God that you're clean before Him now. Hallelujah. Now, the other ritual that he brings up here, this other empty practice, is this laying on of hands. And in Old Testament times, the Jews would bring their sacrificial animal to the priest. And as they were giving, they would lay hands on that animal, kind of symbolically saying, my sin and my guilt is being passed on to something else. Okay? That's what we're talking about. Well, these new Jewish believers had laid hands on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so any other ritual is now obsolete because they've got Jesus. Y'all got what I'm saying? And so these were empty practices that they needed to move on from those. That's what he's talking about. Well, I want to jump in and make some application for today. Do we have any empty practices in the church today? If you don't know the answer to that question, with the whole world dying and going to hell, the whole world around us dying and going to hell, the shape our nation's in, wars and rumors of wars, The average Baptist church is sitting around arguing about, should we have plastic flowers or real flowers on the podium? Should we have real silverware or plastic silverware? I just want to scream when I hear stuff like this, you know, because that's not what we need to be focused on. Can I just share a new church van story with you? You know I'm going to anyways. Some churches that I've been a part of, you know, wound up buying a new church van. And the seniors in one of these churches wanted to make recliners out of all the seats in the new church van so that their sacroiliacs wouldn't hurt. And here's what the teenagers wanted to do with the new van. They wanted to jack that baby down, put blue lights under it, so when they pull up to the stoplight, it's just going up and down. I'm telling you. And then there's always some good old boy with camouflage pants on and boots that are untied, can of Skoal in his back pocket, and he wants to put some big tires on that new church van and jack that puppy up. And this is true, y'all. And then he wants to put a dog box in the back of the truck, in the back of the van, and go mud bogging for Jesus. Yeah, that's what we need to be doing. We get all caught up in things that don't have any eternal value. We need to get rid of all the empty practices of tradition. And, you know, should we have real plates or Chinette plates? I heard somebody say in one of my former churches, well, Chinette plates cost too much, and you only get to use them once. And I said, well, is that because God's broke? Can y'all tell I get upset about some of this stuff? I do. It worries me. Immature believers act as if, you know, well, God doesn't need a bunch of tightwad Baptists to handle his money. He's got plenty, and he tells us in his word how we're to spend his money. Here's what I want us to do, y'all. This will be good for our church. Let's move on from traditional stuff that has no eternal value. Let's get past this elementary principles and grow up and mature in our faith. Let's quit griping and complaining and grumbling about things that don't really matter. Hello? And we're supposed to be reaching people for Christ and teaching people to follow Christ. Right? Oh my goodness, it's 10:57. We'll get done in a little while. We just got one service today. Now, here's the final point I want to make. Here it is. Verse 2b. He says, of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. We got to move on from the embryonic prospects of the old covenant. Now, the resurrection of the dead, that was taught in the Old Testament, kind of unveiled in the Old Testament. It was believed on in the Old Testament, but only in the most basic elementary ways. But when you get to the New Testament, the resurrection of the dead is completely explained. And by the way, believers and non-believers are going to stand before God. We're going to be resurrected. Y'all with me? We're all going to stand before a holy God. Now, if you're a believer, if you've been born again, your sins have been taken care of. You're no longer under condemnation. You will not be pronounced guilty, and it's back to hell you go. If you've been born again. Okay? But unbelievers are going to be raised as well. And look at that second one, eternal judgment. Wow. These six basic foundational truths are wonderful, but we need to move beyond them. We must face our immaturity and forsake our immaturity. And if you get upset about the length of the services, if it's your child that's always being mistreated, if you're in worship and you're sitting too close to somebody and you're upset about it, if you're in the wrong seat, bless God, and a lot of y'all are in the wrong seat today. Y'all, that's a good thing. That is, that's a good thing. If you're going to quit giving to the church because the preacher makes too much money. I've heard that before. And that was back when we were in seminary, getting a $75 check a week and driving 110 miles round trip. I don't need to go a whole lot farther, but there's people that get upset about this kind of stuff. If you think all that God requires of you is your Sunday morning attendance, if you're not reading and applying the Word of God to your life on a daily basis, then brothers and sisters, this message is for all of us. Because every single one of us have not arrived yet, including me. Y'all be patient with your pastor. God's not done with me yet. He's still working on me, chipping off those rough edges. Y'all know, she can tell you, I've got some rough edges. I'm still, yeah. Who said that? I've always got the last word right here, yeah. I could share some stories, but we won't. So, if you're wondering why there isn't more to the Christian life than what you're experiencing, wouldn't you like to have a higher, victorious, mature, growing in godliness, Christian experience, becoming all God wants you to be? Well, the author of Hebrews had made up his mind, and he and his people were going to grow up in the faith. And I thought 100 different ways to close this message today, but my mind goes back to my mother and father when I was growing up in the Hampton home. And I can't tell you how many times I heard this phrase, "Son, when are you going to grow up?" Now, if you could speak to them today, they may still be asking that question. But isn't it time, brothers and sisters, that we started moving on in becoming all that God wants us to be? I love young people. And I want to tell you what, God's got his hand on some of our young people. And they're going to move on to bigger and better and greater things. And you know why that is? If you want God's favor on your life, just start being obedient and applying God's word to your life. It's that simple. Now, you're still going to have problems. You're still going to have trouble because the devil doesn't want us to succeed in anything. And sometimes our flesh gets in the way. But I want to tell you, we can become all God wants us to be if we'll sell out to what the writer of Hebrews has told us in the Word of God this morning. Would you just bow your head with me? I don't know exactly how to land this plane. Father, here we are. One more time today, in need of your word. And God, you've given it to us, not through me, but through the reading of your word. And we need to be accountable to you. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak to hearts all over the building. Some of us ought to be teachers by now. Some of us ought to be leaders by now. Some of us ought to be doing a bigger work than what we're doing, putting on that apron of duty and serving. God, forgive me in areas of my life that you've spoken to me about this week that I need to mature in, that I need to grow up in. And I pray even now, and especially, Lord, if there's someone here that's lost and does not know Jesus, if they would just pray and mean business with God under conviction of the Holy Spirit. If you know you're lost or not sure you're saved, I would just ask the Lord to say, Lord, I'm under conviction about my sin. I realize it separated me from you, and I'm a sinner. And I need to move on from that because I need your forgiveness. And I believe that Jesus paid the price for all my sin. And I believe he's the Son of God, and I believe, Father, that he's alive right now today. So I want to ask Jesus Christ, through the person and power of the Holy Spirit, to come into my life and save me right now. I look by faith to you and you alone for salvation. That's the first step. And now you're a babe in Christ. And then God expects you to start growing. First mark of belief is baptism, water baptism. Doesn't save you, but it points out, hey, I have been saved. I belong to Jesus. And Lord, there's probably other issues that you're speaking to us about. God, bring folks to an altar of prayer, whether it be here, back in the war room, the prayer room, whether it be somewhere else. Oh God, speak to our hearts and help us to be obedient. That's how we move forward. I pray all this in the matchless name of Jesus. Let's all stand. Andrew's going to lead us.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.